Let us come before the Lord in prayer.
Eternal God and gracious Father, we come into thy presence this morning in the precious name of the Lord Jesus, and we pray that thou wilt meet with us and bless us around thy feet today when we experience and know the blessing of the Lord upon us. We pray in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. We do welcome you all who are joining with us this morning in the house of the Lord, and we trust the Lord will bless you to meet with us today. Could I remind you of the building fund today, the baskets at the exits for your offerings. Today is our building fund, so all loose collections and building fund envelopes go to that fund. At 7 p.m., the second in the series of our drive-in services in the church car park, do invite others to come along. Church gates will open from approximately 6:30. The preacher and soloist is Dr. Fred Greenfield. Community singing from 6:50. God willing, do bring your chorus or hymn sheets along with you if you remember. No doubt there's others can be given to you if you've forgotten or if you haven't got one as yet. Do come and join us again this evening and invite others to come under the sound of God's word. Then Tuesday at 8 p.m. is our prayer meeting and Bible study, the focus on the Lamb in the book of the Revelation. Next Lord's Day, family worship, 11:30. The doors open from 11, and I will be the preacher myself, God willing. And the drive-in services continue in the church car park at 7 p.m. There will be community singing from about 10 to 7 prior to the service. Dr. William McRae will be the soloist and preacher at this service next Lord's Day evening. The book on grace and tragedy, remember that, grace and grief and grace, rather. The story of Boy Matthew, that's still available. There's only a few copies left, so please do get that today if you wish to have a copy and see your brother Mervyn or put your name on the list, $6.95. Remember all who need our prayers in the midst of sorrow. Pray for all who are in the midst of illness. A special prayer requested for David and Amanda, their daughter, Kamanje, as they're now in Thailand. You may have seen from the WhatsApp link. They arrived safely. The process is underway, God willing, and we trust that all will run smoothly for them. So do pray for them in the days ahead. On behalf of Nessie, I want to mention this morning her daughter's illness. Some may know that her daughter, Catherine, has been severely ill for a number of months. And Nessie does appreciate the prayers of God's people. Her daughter, Catherine, has been going through treatments, and that's still ongoing. We do appreciate your prayers for her, that the Lord would intervene, if it is his will, in her case. And for Nessie, and for Catherine's husband and the family, that the Lord will be gracious to them. Please remember this matter in your prayers. We're going to join in the singing of a hymn or the psalm. It's the opening psalm this morning, and we'll keep our seats as we sing. I love the Lord because my voice and prayers he did hear. I, while I live, will call on him who bowed to me his ear. Psalm 116, verses 1 to 8. We keep our seats, and then we will stand, if you're able to do so, for prayer.
I'm
us stand for prayer. Eternal, gracious, loving, blessed Heavenly Father, we bow in Thy presence this morning to thank Thee for being able to gather in such a manner as this in the house of God. We pray, Father, for those who still feel unable to be with us in person, that Thou wilt be with them, that Thou wilt strengthen those that are weak, that Thou wilt encourage those, O God, that need that encouragement. Touch those that need that healing touch. We pray especially today for Nessie's daughter, Catherine. We pray for Thine intervention in her case. We pray, O God, for Thy saving grace in her life and her family. And we pray that Thou wilt help and give grace to Nessie at this time, we beseech of Thee. And we ask, Lord, for Thine intervention. For others, we plead. Those faithful in this house who cannot meet with us at present, Lord, touch them. We pray for our brother Carl, that Thou wilt remember him. We thank Thee for being able to meet with him this week and for fellowship in the gospel. We pray that Thou wilt continue to bless our dear brother. We ask, Lord, that Thou wilt remember our dear sister Isabel too. Thank Thee that she's got home again from hospital, but Thou dost know her ongoing illnesses. And for others, O God, who would normally be here, but because of age or infirmity, they cannot. Lord, that Thou wilt touch them and that Thou wilt heal them. For any who are now on holiday, that Thou wilt be with them too, that Thou wilt comfort and give grace. Especially, Lord, we remember David and Amanda and Kawanji, that Thou wilt be with them, that Thou wilt bless them, that Thou wilt speed the work that they are engaged in relation to this adoption process. And we ask, Lord, that Thou wilt help them, keep them safe in days to come. We pray that every difficulty will be surmounted and that Thy hand will be upon them. We pray for others in our midst and, Lord, in our congregation and connected to it, who have illness problems waiting on results, waiting, O God, to meet with doctors or go through treatments, that Thou wilt be with them and bless them, that Thou wilt encourage them. And we pray that they may know that the Lord is near, even at this time. Father, we commend the work of God here to Thee. Remember the drive-in services. We thank Thee for last Sunday night. We pray again for Thy servant tonight, who will come and minister in song and preach Thy word, that Thou wilt fill him with the Holy Spirit, that Thou wilt use him, that he might be the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message. And grant that many souls will gather in the car park tonight to hear the good news of the gospel. Bless the outer churches. Bless the ministry of Thy word. Thy servants who are taking a break on holiday, give them, Lord, that refreshment that they need. Thy people too. And we pray that You'll encourage and bless. Remember our land, our nation, this world in all its darkness and delusion. We think of the churches and their departure from the gospel and from the plain teaching of Scripture. O God, that Thou wouldst help us ever to stand true to Thy word, to the crown rights of King Jesus, and to the crown jewels of His glorious gospel. We pray in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. Amen. Well, boys and girls, at this time of the year, a lot of people think about a certain thing that is displayed. And that certain thing that is displayed is a banner. And there are a lot of people that will be hoping this year, after having all that break last year, to see a banner that's raised. Now, outside the church there, at the roadside, there is a banner. Not the sort of banner you'll see on the 12th of July, mind you, but it is a banner. It's announcing our drive-in services. A banner. Now, the Bible speaks about various banners. In fact, if you look it up, boys and girls, in Psalm 60 and verse 4, it says, Thou hast given a banner to them that fear Thee, that it might be displayed according to the truth. Boys and girls, a banner is to be displayed. It's no use leaving it in a roof space. Maybe that's where it is. Maybe a lot of people are gathering it out now and taking the dust off it and bringing it out of that cubbyhole and going to put it up for the 12th of July. Well, boys and girls, the banner of God's truth is always to be displayed in our lives. If we love the Lord Jesus Christ, if we know Him as our Savior, then we are to display this banner, the banner of God's Word, the banner of God's truth. Boys and girls, are you standing by this banner? In the Old Testament times, they stood by a standard, or sometimes it was called an ensign. And the armies of Israel, they had their various banners or standards that they stood by. In days of battle too, boys and girls, the armies stood by their ensign or their standard or their banner. And so, boys and girls, if we love the Lord Jesus Christ, we stand by a banner, the banner of God's truth. We display His Word by our living from day to day. But we can only do that, boys and girls, if we have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. If we have come to trust Him as our Savior and Lord. Have you come to trust the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, boys and girls? Have you trusted in Him as your Savior? Have you asked Him into your life? Well, if not, it is our prayer that this morning you might come and that you might trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. We're going to sing a chorus, boys and girls, just once through, away far beyond Jordan. You can do the actions as we keep our seats and sing. Reading together from the Word of God in the book of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3, the book of Matthew's Gospel, the third chapter. We're reading together from the opening verse of this scripture. Matthew chapter 3 and the verse number 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a nether girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, 'We have Abraham to our father.' For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, 'I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me?' And Jesus answering said unto him, 'Suffer it to be so now, for thus It becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightly out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Amen. And we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and infallible word. Hymn 330 on your screen, Since Christ my soul from sin set free, this world has been a heaven to me. Amid our sorrow and its woe, 'tis heaven my Jesus here to know. We'll keep our seats as we sing the hymn and then stand for prayer before the word this morning. Eternal gracious Father, we turn now to the preaching of thy word. I am trusting thee for power thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail, we ask in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. You may be seated. I turn your attention this morning to the subject of baptism. Baptism is one of the two sacraments of the New Testament church. The other, of course, being the Lord's Supper. And we dealt with the Lord's Supper last Lord's Day morning. In answer to question 94 of our shorter catechism, what is baptism? We have this definition. Baptism is a sacrament wherein the washing of water in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost does signify and seal our engrafting into Christ and partaking of the benefits of the covenant of grace and our engagement to be the Lord's. It is seen by many, the subject of baptism, as very controversial. But nevertheless, it is one that must be taught. We see it as Scripture sees it, as a command of God to be obeyed. And by being baptized, we are following the clear directives of God's Word. Right at the start of the New Testament, in Matthew's Gospel, we have seen this morning through our Bible reading here in chapter 3 of Matthew, John the Baptist baptizing in the River Jordan. The Bible tells us here in verse 5 of chapter 3 of Matthew, "Then went out to him," that's to John the Baptist, "Jerusalem and all Judea, and the region round about Jordan," verse 6, "to be baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins." So upon confession of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, John baptized them. Going further in the same chapter from which we have read, verse 13, we read, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him." So in being baptized, the believer is following the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 16. Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ was not baptized because he was a repentant sinner, because he is absolutely without sin and never needed to confess it, being sinless. But John here even tried to stop the Lord Jesus Christ being baptized. Verse 14. But the Lord knew it was the Father's will. Look at verse 15. Jesus answering said unto him, "Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he suffered. Why was Jesus baptized? First of all, his baptism gave approval to John the Baptist's ministry. It was the very seal of divine approval upon the ministry of John the Baptist. Secondly, he was baptized, and in doing so, he identified himself with publicans and sinners, the very people he came to save. And thirdly, and mainly, his baptism pictured his future baptism upon the cross. In Matthew 20, verse 22, and Luke 12, verse 50, he spoke about that baptism which he would be baptized with. When all the waves and billows of God's judgment would go over him. This is mentioned in Psalm 42, verse 7. The Lord Jesus Christ, by being baptized, was picturing the baptism of his death upon the cross of Calvary. And thus John the Baptist bore witness that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and also the Lamb of God. And the Bible says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Because of John's witness, many sinners trusted in Jesus Christ. If you go to John chapter 10, verses 39 to 42, you'll see that. Especially verses 41 to 42, where it says, "Many resorted unto him," that's to John, "and said, John, or to the Lord, and John did no miracle. But all things that John spake of this man were true. And many believed on him there." They believed on Christ as a result of this. When you go to the 8th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, verses 26 to 40, discover, of course, the context there is the one where Philip was witnessing to the Ethiopian eunuch, and he pointed him to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he taught the eunuch, that is, Philip taught the eunuch, beyond conversion, the deeper truths of the Word of God.
And then the eunuch cried out in verse 36 of Acts chapter 8, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Baptism is a New Testament doctrine. The word baptize is found in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 2, referring to Israel passing through the Red Sea, overshadowed by the cloud, it says there, "And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea." And John the Baptist's message was, in Mark chapter 1, verse 4, "John did baptize in the wilderness and preached baptism of repentance for the remission of sins." You see, my friends, John's baptism was not his own innovation, but it came from heaven. And multitudes came to be baptized by John, according to Luke 3, verse 7. But John only baptized those who brought forth fruit worthy of repentance, according to Luke 3, verse 8. And when you go through those verses from Luke 3, 8 to 14 of that chapter, it lists the fruit that is required, the fruit of repentance. It speaks about benevolence and kindness and love and generosity and honesty and justice and faithfulness and meekness and quietness and temperance and contentment. And when you compare the list that's given here, it bears striking resemblance to the fruit of the Spirit that are mentioned in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23. In other words, dear friends, those he baptized had evidence of saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the basis of their baptism. Let's come then this morning to the subject of baptism and see what the Word of God has to teach us about this subject. And we trust that the Lord, in these closing moments of our service, will write His Word upon our hearts. First of all, the meaning of baptism. When we speak of baptism, we are not referring to regeneration or forgiveness of sins. Baptism states the fact of an event that has already transpired beforehand. In other words, dear friends, it is an outward symbol of an inward reality, of a genuine conversion. First of all, it means obedience to the command of Christ. In the 16th chapter of Mark's Gospel, and the verse 16, we read these words, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Please notice the order. And the order in Scripture is all important. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Believing comes before baptism. Have you believed this morning to the saving of your soul? It means, secondly, following the example of Christ. We saw that here mentioned in Matthew 3 and in other portions of Scripture. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, it says, "Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." Following in the steps of the Lord Jesus Christ. And those steps led him to Jordan. And those steps led the Lord Jesus Christ to be baptized of John the Baptist. Thirdly, it means fulfilling all righteousness. We've read the verse already, Matthew 3, 15. "Suffer it to be so," the Lord said, "for thus it becometh to fulfill all righteousness." If Jesus followed this path, I put it to you today and I submit it to you this morning that you and I need to follow it too. Fourthly, It means separation by death from sin. If you take time later to read Colossians 3 and verse 3, it says this, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Paul said further in Galatians 6:14, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." Separation by death from sin. And then also it means identification with Christ. Again, if you take time to study the 6th chapter of Romans and the verses 4 to 13, it talks there in verse 5 of Romans 6 of being identified with Christ in his death. And Paul uses this terminology. He says, planted together in the likeness of his death. Identification with Christ and his death. But then there's further in Romans 6. Identification in his burial. The burial of Christ. It not only says planted together in the likeness of his death, but it says buried with him, that is with Christ, by baptism into death. And so it's dying with Christ. And so it's being buried with Christ. It's identification in his resurrection. Romans 6:4, "Like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life, dying with Christ, being buried with Christ, resurrected with Christ, and walking in newness of life." And so baptism needs and means identification with Christ. It also means association with Christ's body. Paul, in writing to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, he said, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." One body, the church, visible and invisible. So there's this association with the body of Christ. But then we come not only to the meaning of baptism, but we come secondly to who may be baptized. There's the false notion that all are eligible to be baptized. But this is not in keeping with what the Word of God teaches. There are a lot of false notions and things put out there today, even in religious circles and even in some churches today, I would say even in many churches today, that baptism is for everyone. That's not the Bible I'm reading, friend. That's not the Bible we have before us this morning. That's what not this Word of God teaches. We must ever hold to what the Bible says, no matter what other notions are involved or put forward in this world, even religiously today. You will notice that John only baptized those who met certain standards. Those who heard the gospel and believed it. It's the first thing. And we've referred to the verse in Mark 16, verse 16. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." The priority here is given to belief of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, believing to salvation, believing to the saving of your soul. Have you done that? Have you that saving faith in Christ this morning? And then secondly, those whose eyes are open. You remember Saul of Tarsus? How God met with him and God saved him on the Damascus Road. That wonderful encounter he had with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you remember later on in that chapter 9 of the book of the Acts of the Apostles in verse 18 that and Ananias drew alongside him. He had been directed to go and meet with him. And the Bible says, following that meeting with Ananias, "Immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received a sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized, having been converted to Christ. His eyes were opened, and he was baptized. Have you been converted to Christ this morning? That's the first step you must take if you're to go down the road of being baptized. And then thirdly, those who have repented. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, repent, it says, and be baptized. Again, notice the order. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus. You see, repentance is twofold, turning from sin and turning unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you done that? You're still embracing your sin, still holding to your sin, still clinging to your sin, still loving your sin. Friend, repentance involves turning away from it, forsaking it utterly, and turning unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, those who can be baptized are those who bring forth this fruit that is worthy of repentance. This fruit worthy of repentance. This evidence that you're truly saved. Not just a decision. Not just something of a moment. Not just something of emotion. But something real, something definite in your heart. And there are many people today, maybe even some who have come up through this very church and are depending on some decision they have made or some profession they have made. I'm not their judge or not your judge this morning. But friend, are you really saved? Have you been really saved? If you've been really saved, then there will be the evidence of the grace of God in your life. Fruits worthy of repentance. Matthew 3:8. Those who have received the Holy Ghost, that's the next thing. You remember when Peter went to the house of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, and of course, God was pleased to wonderfully work, and I commend that passage to you because the gospel was not only to the Jew, but also the Gentile. And of course, we're very happy, and we rejoice in that because the gospel has come to us. The Jew first, but also to the Greek. So the Gentiles heard, and Peter, of course, had to go down this way, and God led him this particular way. In Acts 10:47, can any forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have the Holy Ghost as well as we? So the Gentiles received Christ. The Gentiles received the Holy Ghost. They received the witness of the Spirit of God that they were saved. Have you that inward witness that you are truly saved? The Bible says God's Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And then those who have been taught the Word of God are those who can be baptized. Matthew 28:19-20, it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. And it goes on to say, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And so the person who comes to be baptized is a person who's not only been converted to Christ, but who has grown in the things of God and grown by the teaching of the Word of God and by the instruction of Scripture, grown in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that where you're at today? Then you're a candidate for being baptized. And then those who have died and been buried and live on resurrection ground, as we've noted from these verses in Romans 6 earlier. The teaching of the Word of God in relation to who may be baptized. But then I want you to look thirdly at the means. How should one be baptized? In what name? Well, we are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, according to Matthew 28:19. Of course, it mentions too in the name of the Lord Jesus in Acts chapter 8. In relation to that in verse 16 of Acts 8, and Acts 19:5, in the name of the Lord is mentioned in Acts 10, where we've looked at there, verse 48. But it's in the name of the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're not into oneness today. We're into the Trinity. We believe in the triune God, the Father, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And it's in His name that we're baptized. What substance is to be used? Well, it is to be water only. Acts chapter 8, verse 36, the eunuch said, "See, here is water." And then John 3, verse 23, and John, that's John the Baptist, was baptizing in Aeon, which is near Jordan, because there was much water there. And so it was a place where there was water, and so water was used in relation to baptism and in the performing of baptism. Who should perform baptism? Of course, in the scripture here, we notice that it was performed by one or more representatives of the church. John the Baptist, for example, we've mentioned here, Philip also, and Peter, and Paul, and Silas, Ananias, etc. And today with us in the church in this particular day, it is the ordained ministry of the church who perform baptisms, pastors or ministers in the church. Those who have that role are able to perform baptisms. And this is in keeping with following on from Scripture. Where should baptism be performed? In the Word of God, we see John was there at the River Jordan. In Matthew 3, we see that in John 3 also. Sometimes in a building or under conditions that are not specified, we find that the conditions that Lydia was baptized in are not specified. Neither was the jailer. Some say it may have been in his house and could well have been in Acts 16. You also have the baptism of Simon the sorcerer in Acts 8, 12 to 13. And so there are a variety of places where baptisms can be held in keeping with Scripture. And then the mode of baptism. This is a thorny issue with many. I refer you to our Articles of Faith, the Free Presbyterian Church, Article 7, which states the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster under Christ, the great King and head of the church, realizes the bitter controversy raging about the ordinance of Christian baptism has divided the body of Christ, and many we know have fallen out over this issue when they shouldn't have. And the body of Christ should be united in Christian love and Holy Ghost power to steer to stem the onslaughts and hell-inspired assaults of modernism. Hereby affirms that each member of the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster shall have liberty to decide for themselves, for himself or herself, which course to adopt, each member giving due honor and love to the views held by differing brethren or sisters. And so in regard to the mode of baptism, it is an open question in the Free Presbyterian Church. Each believer can decide for themselves in regard to that. You may have strong views in particular mode of baptism. Well, you're entitled to have those views, but you're not entitled to divide the Christian church over it. Neither am I. Whatever my view is, I'm not entitled to divide or be divisive about it, but to respect each other's views in relation to the mode of baptism is to be used. And that's why in the Free Presbyterian Church, when we have baptism services, it is not a regular service in the church. It is held at another time. It's not the regular service. And that is, of course, in keeping with our history down through the 70 years of the existence of the Free Presbyterian Church. And I believe it is very good because it allows people to hold different views and to respect the views of others. And I trust you'll see that. But then I want to come finally today to the moment a person should be baptized. It's obviously subsequent to their conversion in Christ. And many can reply if asked, am I baptized? Or are you baptized? They would say yes. And people still to this day make a big thing about being baptized. I remember when I ministered for many years in the Shankill Road, people used to come to me and say, I want my child done. Now, you may think, what do they mean by that? Well, if you've worked and lived in Belfast over the years, you'll know exactly what they mean by that. They want their child baptized. And sad to say, even in Protestantism today, even to this day, there is this thing about being baptized. But these people have never been saved and have no profession of faith in Christ. It's clear from Scripture, from verses already cited under previous points, which I've underlined to you, so there's no need for repetition this morning in relation to the point. If having received Christ as your Savior and have that evidence of the grace of God in your life, is it right for you to be baptized? Of course it is. Upon confession of your faith. Look again at Acts chapter 8. It was on confession of the eunuch's faith that Philip baptized him. On confession of his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me kneel the lie that some proclaim, that if a child died unbaptized, it will be lost. Nowhere, nowhere is that taught in Scripture. Baptism will neither save or condemn the child. Salvation is through Christ, not through baptism. Bible says in Acts 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given amongst men, whereby we must be saved. Salvation is through Christ alone. Waters of baptism cannot wash away your sin. It is only the blood of Christ can wash away your sin. Have you been washed in the blood of Christ this morning? Remember David's child who died? 2 Samuel 12, 15 to 23. I commend that portion to you. The child died uncircumcised and unbaptized. Yet David said, I shall go to him. In other words, David was saying, I'm going to heaven to be with my child. He would meet the child again. The child had gone there before him. That answers the question, doesn't it? In conclusion, let me say this. In baptism or by my baptism or by your baptism, I take a public stand, you take a public stand with God and righteousness against the devil and against sin. And baptism is a challenge to the powers of darkness. Just as we said last Lord's Day, that every time we come to the Lord's table, we declare the death of Christ. And we preach a sermon by coming to the Lord's table. So by our baptism, we declare that we are truly the Lord's. It's a challenge to the powers of darkness. I'm living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Baptism is an act of faith, calling on the grace of God for strength to overcome. It is a command, friend, just as coming to the Lord's table is a command. This do in remembrance of me. So it is a command that is not optional for you to be baptized. It is for you and I to obey it and to submit to it. And if the Lord Jesus Christ needed to be baptized, and did, and was baptized, to fulfill all righteousness, you and I need to follow this path. And so let us prayerfully and solemnly and sincerely consider the matter of baptism. Let us obey the clear command of Scripture. And if you're not saved this morning, I urge you now to come to Christ in repentance and in faith, And then upon confession of your faith, you can be baptized. May the Lord be pleased to write His word upon our hearts this morning. Let us pray. Father, we pray that Thou wilt indelibly write upon the fleshy tables of every heart the holy word of Thy truth. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Returning to the hymn 320 on the screen, I am redeemed. Oh, praise the Lord. My soul from bondage free has found at last a resting place in Him who died for me. We'll keep our seats as we sing together.
Thank you.
gracious, loving Father, we thank you for thy presence. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.